Bible study. All right, this is why we're here, okay? I love doing games with you guys. I love worshiping with you. But a vast majority of the reasoning for why we're here is to study God's Word. And so I'm excited to have that opportunity with you today and this evening. So who can, we just kind of need to jump right in because just don't have a ton of time to get through the things that I'd like to get through. So who can tell me what's the really famous block of teaching that we are studying right now? What's it called? Haley.
Oh, well, I don't know the name of it.
Grace.
Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, Sermon on the Mount. And that is found in which book of the Bible? Yes, Matthew 5, and more than 1 through 12, the whole sermon's a lot longer, but yes, that's where we've been. Good, good. So glad to hear that you are tracking. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew really focuses in on Jesus as our Messiah, as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So look, Jesus didn't just show up out of the blue. God promised that he would send a Savior, and Jesus is that fulfillment. And as part of that, remember that the big, the arrows that we showed, the different focuses of the Gospels, what's one of the focuses of Matthew? He is what? The, Haley?
King.
Yes, the king. And so in light of that, when Jesus starts preaching a sermon, okay, it's not like I'm standing up here preaching a sermon, oh, I should listen to Ben or Pastor Bob. This is your king preaching a sermon, which is a big deal, and you should be paying attention and want to grasp these things, particularly in light of, I think on Sunday, for those of you who were there, in light of James chapter 1, talking about being a hearer and a doer. And James really hits those hard who just hear and don't do anything about it. And if we claim that Jesus is our king and we hear his words and do nothing, then there's a problem. There's a disconnect. And it could be that perhaps you're not listening and you're not following the way you should, or perhaps you've never actually started following Jesus in the first place. And in Jesus' sermon, okay, the Sermon on the Mount, it's great. Okay, there's an introduction, there's a main body, and then there's a conclusion. And the way that Jesus sets this up is just so great. And I'm excited to continue to study this today. And we were in the introduction last week. Okay, we started in the introduction. In the very beginning, there's all this repetition of the same phrase. What phrase is that? Who's got it? What? Nope, not be humble. It says, yes, there we go, totally good, okay? Blessed, or blessed. Blessed is the man who does this. Blessed is the man who does that. And particularly, we saw four, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verses, I think, 1 through 6, okay? What are the characteristics of somebody who is blessed that we looked at last time? John. Okay, good. First one is, blessed are the poor in spirit, okay? And what does that mean, John? Yeah, okay. You recognize that you have a complete need. You're dependent on God, particularly, we know, of our sin, okay? We need God to deal with our sin. So being poor in spirit recognizes that you are not all that great and you have a need. You have a need. Okay, Haley, what's another one?
Blessed are the ones who mourn.
Yes, blessed are those who mourn. And we're looking at that and we say, what in the world does that mean? And I suggested that we look at this as a progression. That the one who is poor in spirit, who recognizes their need, is going to mourn over the things that they should mourn over, like sin and like darkness in the world. And it's those who recognize that they have need who mourn and call out to God for help. Okay, so this is really looking like somebody who's humble, which we get to the third one. What's the third one? Okay, so your translation says gentle. I think a better translation of that word is meek. Or humble, okay? And gentleness is involved in that and perhaps an outward action. But the word really, I think, and I can come back to you with that after more study, it has to do more with humility and a humbleness, okay? So it's those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their need, who will mourn over their sin, and they will be humble and meek. And you just answered the last one. So what's the last one? Stephanie? Yeah. Yeah, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now I'm just going to write hunger for sake of time, okay? So I suggested that these things are characteristics of somebody who's a follower of Jesus. That if you, it's not just that if you want to be blessed, you have to pursue these things. He says, blessed are these people. This is a description of somebody who's had massive change in their life. And I talked about how these particularly have to do with a heart change. Okay? A heart change that looks like somebody who recognizes their need and is humble and is meek and can call and mourns over their sin. All right? And when we're talking about the idea of blessed, what are we talking about? What does blessed mean?
Happy.
Okay, yeah. At its base, someone who's happy. But it goes a little further than that, I think, in the scripture. It's not just someone who's happy, because your feelings of happiness can change with your circumstances, but being blessed does not change with your circumstances, okay? Being blessed means to be satisfied, to be content with where you are in life, to have God's favor, okay? And so if you're a disciple of Jesus, these are the sorts of characteristics that are going to describe you. And I just ask you, we were talking about how these promises, blessed is this person who is poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And these promises that God gives us are both future, okay, ultimately in the future we know that we will be in the kingdom of God. We know that when we mourn, we will be comforted ultimately in new creation and in heaven. And those who are humble will inherit the earth in the sense of the new earth, and hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Okay, so that there's a sense in which that's all future, but if this defines you now, those blessings are for you today, in a partial sense, okay? So my question again has been in this introduction, are you this type of person? Are you experiencing this kind of blessing? Are you pursuing these things? And if not, why not? That's what you should be questioning yourself. If not, why not? And so the main point today is going to kind of follow up, going to get to those last four Beatitudes, and then talk about one more aspect of this introduction. We're going to hopefully finish the introduction today. And the main point is this, that a blessed disciple of Jesus has experienced change. Okay, we talked about that last week, but then we're going to add this. And that change will affect the world. Okay, that change will affect the world. And my idea here, and what the scripture says, is if you live like this, okay, if you really live like this, do you think that you'll just blend into the world? What do you think?
No.
You'll stand out. Who lives like this? Who mourns over their sin? Who is humble? Who cares about others first? I'm not saying that unbelievers can have none of this in their lives, but if this is really characteristic of you, that's gonna turn heads. People are going to notice. I'm going to look a little bit at that today. So a blessed disciple of Jesus has experienced change, and that change will affect the world. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 through 16. So we got through the first four. We just put them on the board. Verse 7, the fifth blessing of a disciple. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Haley, you have a question?
Okay, so who wrote Matthew, because it says, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me?
So this is Jesus speaking. So this, chapters 5 through 7 is all a recording of what Jesus said. Okay, and Matthew's the one who's penning it. Okay, good question. Let me pray over this, and then we'll jump into it. God, please help me to be clear. Help us to understand your word. Help us to recognize that we can't do these things by ourselves. We need your Son to change us. And so affect that change in us today. If there are people here who are not your followers, that they would repent of their sin and put their faith in you. And then please give us the strength to live in this way and be radically different than what we see in the world around us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay? So, as I ask this question of, do you want to be blessed? We recognize that we can't enact these things on our own. We need God to change us. We need faith in the Savior, His Spirit to live inside of us. And that is really what heart change is all about. Now, if you, a natural kind of second step, if your heart has changed, what's the second area of change? I said it last week, and let's see if you can remember. Grace.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle. Someone's taking notes. Awesome. Okay? Lifestyle change. And again, this is just a loose categorization. There's some that kind of carry over between both, but this is just helpful to help us understand it. And that's what we're going to look at today, is how our life has changed. This is what a Christian, a disciple, a follower of King Jesus will look like. All right? Just two areas we're going to look at. We're going to look at the change that happens in lifestyle, and then we're going to look at how that change will affect or influence the world. Okay? So the change that happens, and how that change in your life should influence the people around you in the world. Okay? So first, a disciple has experienced a change in lifestyle. Look down at verse 7, and what is the first blessing?
Blessed are the merciful.
Good. Blessed are the merciful. Okay? Now the idea of mercy, this basically just has the idea of compassion and kindness. Okay? A genuine care for people also probably includes forgiving, being someone who extends forgiveness. It's probably going to look like patience with people. Okay? And he says that those who are merciful will receive mercy. And again, I just want to emphasize that this is not something that we do to receive mercy, that you have to be merciful before God saves you. This is a future promise. So if you are this type of person who is blessed and has been saved, in the end, we ultimately will also receive mercy. It's a promise. It's a promise for the future. And they're blessed because in the end, we too will receive mercy back on us. And the idea of compassion and kindness and forgiveness and patience is all pretty straightforward, right? It's easy to say, but it's a little bit harder to do. And again, let me just throw this out to you. What would mercy look like, compassion, kindness, on a regular basis? Okay, start applying it to maybe school. Okay, what does mercy look like in school? Sorry, I can't hear you, but I bet it's a good answer. Yeah, okay, good. Being a type of person who's willing to extend a second chance. Maybe somebody's harmed you and you're willing to give a second chance. That's great. It's a great application. Well, Jackson.
Sacrificing some of your time on your homework to help somebody else who's not doing as well on theirs.
Good. Love it. I love the very practical, okay? Sacrificing your time to help somebody else.
I feel like this doesn't have to do with school because it doesn't.
It's okay.
Giving your money that you don't have to someone in need of money.
Sure. Yeah. Using your money for the benefit of others. Good. And maybe you needed that money for something else, but because you see somebody's need, you recognize it. Good. Nina.
Being patient with, like, your teachers, too.
Yeah. Sure. Being patient with the people who are in front of you. Okay. Stephanie.
Well, this probably happened at the someone.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you share some of the blessing of a trophy that you won in something. Sure, yeah. Okay, we could go, Nicole.
I don't know, like, if this would be, like, friends with the cards, but would it be, like, helping somebody feel better?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, comfort. Good. Okay, and here's what I'd say. We could go on and on. Basically, are you the type of person that notices the needs of other people? Okay, do you notice that other people hurt or that they're struggling? Or do you just kind of go in your life? And also, I should say this. I think mercy should probably be impartial as well, okay? It's not just, oh, I'm going to be with my peeps, okay? I'm going to show mercy to those who are going to show mercy back to me. And there's a promise that if you are a merciful person, mercy will come back on you, but that shouldn't be why you do anything, okay? Are you merciful for the sake of wanting to please your king? Okay? Do you move into situations to help others when someone wrongs you? Or do you hold a grudge and gossip about that person and tear them down? Or do you forgive? You aren't the type of person who's going to capitalize on someone else's mistakes. Okay, somebody does something that makes them look stupid, and it's like, oh, here's my chance to kind of make a joke and make fun of them. Okay, mercy pushes that off and says, I'm going to help that person. Okay, I'll just give you a practical example in my own life. I remember one time when I was a student in high school, I was in an algebra 1 or 2 class, and there's this one teacher who was really witty and kind of funny, and one time I said something about another student, and it was dumb of me to say it, and it was kind of wrong. I said something that was unkind, but he was really quick with his words, and he shot back for that person and, like, said something. I can't remember what he said, but it was really stinging. It was like, man, my own teacher just, like, really came down hard on me and, like, made me feel like an idiot, you know? And I really looked up to this guy and felt really bad afterwards. And later, I saw him passing by, and he's like, hey, Ben, like, how you doing? And I just said, you know, Mr. Jenkins, honestly, like, what happened in the classroom recently, like, it actually really kind of hurt. I know I shouldn't have said what I said, but what you said back to me also really hurt. And he was like, you know what? I could see that would hurt, and I'm sorry. You forgive me, you know? And that was just a merciful person, you know? Someone who he saw that something that he did hurt me and asked forgiveness, you know? And then it was such an example of someone who had a compassionate, caring heart for other people, okay? That's what it means to be merciful. So I ask you, disciples should be merciful. This should be who you are. Are you merciful? Okay. Second, what's that? Look at blessing number 6, and it's in verse 8. Okay. What's the next one? Who's got it, Stephanie? Yeah, blessed are the pure in heart. And here's where it kind of overlaps. Doesn't fit necessarily exactly, because clearly being pure in heart is about heart change. And so there's some overlap here. But I think it also indicates that you have an integrity, okay? That within you is a genuine purity that wants to please God. You care about being moral, okay? It's an inward change, like the heart change, that plays out in everything you do. You value what God says and what he thinks over your own desires. This is a commitment to doing what's right, basically. Okay, it's a commitment to wanting to do what's right. And this kind of contrasts the Pharisees. Okay, so do you guys know what the Pharisees are? They're the religious leaders of Jesus' day. These religious leaders looked really great on the outside, but they didn't really love God. They did things for themselves, and they were prideful. And so Jesus warns them. He says, he condemns them. He says, look at you who clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside, you are all dirty and nasty. And that might describe some of you. You're really good at putting on an outward show, but are you really pure in your motivation and in your desire to please God? And just think of how earlier it says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The idea there is that God will satisfy them. In the same way, only God can purify your heart. Okay, only God can really enact this kind of change. You have to have God's law written on your heart. You have to be changed, because we don't naturally want these things. All right? So this is a purity of heart that will result in a purity of actions. It looks like commitment to holiness. And so let me just ask you some applicational questions. Do you try to do what is right only for certain audiences? Okay, so you're one way in church, and then you head out to school, and you're just a completely different person because you don't really care about doing right. You just care about pleasing people around you. Do you even try to do what's right at all? Maybe some of you are here just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care about doing right. Then I would question whether you really want to follow Jesus, okay? Because Jesus changes your heart. A disciple is pure in heart, all right? Okay, the third one in lifestyle, verse 9, who's got it? Haley? Blessed are the peacemakers. Good. Okay? Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, this is pretty straightforward. Okay? This is somebody who strives for peace, makes peace. And the book of Romans, Paul says that we should strive as far as it's dependent on us. Okay? If it's possible within your power to make peace, then live at peace. And you all know people, right, who are just, like, they're just argumentative for the sake of being argumentative, okay? If I were to say, you know, man, lately I've really been liking, like, you know, hot dogs instead of cheeseburgers, this type of person says, oh, yeah, but cheeseburgers are actually way better than hot dogs. And you know that if you switched it and said, man, I'm really liking cheeseburgers better than hot dogs, doesn't matter, he'd say, no, hot dogs are better than cheeseburgers. You know people like that, right? And we have this tendency. We like to kind of grind people's gears and get them annoyed, okay? And that's not what a peacemaker does. They don't have to jump in to argue their opinion and argue their case all the time. They're willing to strive for peace. And this shows up mostly, I think, in relationships, okay, in your relationships. And so just take a second and look at your relationships and think, am I a peacemaker with my friends? Yeah.
Dating relationships? Okay, never mind. You just answered that.
Okay, no, sorry. Just relationships in general. But sure, dating relationships. But, I mean, we can talk about dating at a different time, but I have my own thoughts on that. Anyway, okay, so in relationships in general, are you known for making peace with your friends? Okay. Or are you somebody who kind of tries to get on their nerves and just and promote your own opinion? Are you a peacemaker at home? Okay? Or are you constantly arguing with your friends? I mean, with your parents and your siblings and annoying them? Do you pick fights? Okay? Are you a peacemaker with your teachers? Are you a peacemaker with unbelievers? Okay, it's really easy to because, oh, they're an unbeliever, I'm just gonna argue with them and tear them down. Okay? Or do you strive for peace? And if you are not a peacemaker, why not? Hey, why not? Have you been shown how to be a peacemaker? Is that it? Or is it that God has not changed you? Okay? And I'm just trying to push you, okay? If you guys sit here and you're claiming to be a disciple, right? You're claiming to have this blessing, right? Are you really following the King? Is this what you look like? Okay? And then finally, the last one, verse 10. Okay, what is it? Blessed are those who
persecuted.
Yeah, are persecuted. All right. And again, this is so countercultural. Who would say blessed are those who are persecuted? Who would say blessed are those who get given a hard time for what they believe? And again, it's because the focus, yes, it is a willingness in the present. And it's a promise that, yes, there's blessing for us in the present. But ultimately, it will play out in the end. I love this progression. Okay, we've started with blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their need. They know they can't do anything on their own. And we end with a guy who's willing to be persecuted for God's kingdom. Okay? I think it's incredible. I think it's an incredible progression that we see here. It's a heart change that comes out in how you live. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. Verses 11 and 12 expand on that last blessing. Okay, look at verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Basically, he said, you know what? There are tons of guys in the Old Testament who spoke my message, who spoke God's message, and people didn't accept it. They rejected it. And sometimes they killed the prophets. Okay? And he says, it's all right. Because in the end, it will be worth it. It will be worth it to be a disciple. It will be worth it to be a follower. And I would say that the times that you have opportunity to be persecuted at this moment, in America, there's not a general overarching persecution at this time. But I'd say in school, okay, you go to school and you got friends who don't believe the gospel and they're like, man, Christians are idiots, you know? Or you see it in the media, there's a pressure against Christians, okay? There is a type of persecution. And Jesus encourages us and says, hey, it's okay. You're blessed if you go through that. This is what it means to be my disciple. The kingdom of God is yours, okay, if you're my follower. And as we kind of just look back over these Beatitudes, okay, that's what these blessings are called, the Beatitudes, someone who is merciful, someone who lives and helps others, who has experienced this change, really has experienced a major life change. These things are not the normal that you see in society, okay? It's normal to stick up for yourself. It's normal to promote your own agenda. It's normal to be prideful. It's normal to look down on others. It's normal to love yourself, okay? It's normal to be selfish. It's normal to bow down when persecution comes, okay? This is completely different. But we also see promises, okay? Yeah. Sure.
But are you saying I can't love myself?
It depends on what you mean by loving yourself, okay? And I think that's a longer discussion. Maybe we can talk afterwards, okay? But it does kind of depend on what you mean by that, all right? But I would challenge you, okay? The idea of loving yourself is very, very modern in our society. And it doesn't mean that you hate yourself if you're a Christian, but the idea of loving yourself and being independent is very much what the world is saying right now. And I would challenge you as we read this sermon, it's going to hit us in ways like, I don't know if I agree with that. And I would challenge you to wait on it and be patient and think about it and see, what is Jesus saying? Because it is going to be very counter what we think and very different than our culture, okay? But we can talk a little more afterwards, okay? So here are the promises, okay? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. This is satisfaction. There's mercy for disciples. They will see God. They will be called sons of God. That idea of being sons of God, all right? A lot of these characteristics are godly characteristics. God is merciful. He extended mercy to us. God is pure in heart. God makes peace. Really, it's like he's calling us to be like him, to follow him. It's like I said before, I'm like my dad because I was born to my mom and dad, and I want to be like him. Disciples should want to be like their king, okay? And just trying to decide if I want to go further. We'll end here, okay? We'll end here. So I just want to remind you, okay, these things cannot happen on your own. And just like last week, I said, you know, it's kind of overwhelming to look at this and say, I don't know if I'm all of this. And that's okay, and none of us are perfect. But are these the things that you desire? Are these the things that are changing in you, that are kind of naturally starting to come out? For a disciple, it should naturally start to come out. And so this week, I challenge you again. Take one of the lifestyle ones and think about it. Which one are you going to work on this week, okay? Maybe you're not naturally a very kind person. You tend to be kind of abrasive and look down on others. Work on being merciful. Work on being somebody who is moral through and through. You want to be a person of integrity. Be a peacemaker. Or maybe there's some stands, maybe in school you have friends who are unbelievers and you've never shared the gospel and stood up for what you believe. Maybe there's some people you need to share the gospel with and be willing to say, hey, they might look down on me, but I'm going to take it because they need the gospel. And what's great is that some will persecute, but later on it says some will glorify God because of this change in your life, okay? And so pray to that end, that people would change based on seeing the difference that's in your life. And as always, the only way you can do this is if you have a relationship with Christ in the first place, if you are a disciple in the first place. Has your heart been changed? Has your lifestyle been changed? Are you being changed? Okay, this is the type of person that Jesus calls us to be. This is the type of person who is blessed. Someone who is poor in spirit. Someone who mourns. Someone who is humble and meek. Someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. They want to do what's right. Someone who is merciful and pure in heart. A peacemaker and willing to be persecuted. It's that type of person who will experience great blessing. But it's only a Christian, only a disciple, who can even pursue that in the first place, okay? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the change in lifestyle. And next week we'll talk about how this really, if you live this way, you will be a difference. You will influence people. I don't know how it would be possible for you not to, okay? And we'll talk about that next week, right? Let's pray. God, thank you for this passage. First of all, we exalt your Son, Jesus, who died for us. And none of these things are even possible apart from him. We need to be poor in spirit to recognize our need and our sin and be forgiven of those things before we can truly please you and honor you as our King. Help us to desire these things. None of us are perfect in these ways. And so help us to be maturing and growing. And may we experience living life your way. And we're thankful that you've given us these characteristics of a disciple so we can evaluate our lives and see where we're falling short and where we need to change. So help us to change. Help us to be honest. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. All right, spend some time in your small groups talking a little bit about these things, and then we'll be done at 8:30. All right?